Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service, your weekly guide to the numbers in our past, present, and sometimes even future. I'm Ruth Alexander. This week, we've been keeping up to date with the latest news about the spread of coronavirus.
The death toll from the coronavirus rises to 41, with authorities in China struggling.
More than 100 people have now died in China as a result of the virus. 4,500 have been infected.
China says there are now 9,500 cases of coronavirus in the country and that at least 210 people have died.
And we've also been looking at the chatter on Twitter. This message piqued our interest.
Holy Mother of God! The new coronavirus is a 3.8. How bad is that reproductive R0 value? It is thermonuclear pandemic level bad. I'm not exaggerating.
Are you sure you're not? Not even a little? This message was part of a thread posted last Saturday by Dr. Eric Ding, an epidemiologist at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health. Even if you don't know what an R0 value is, and we'll explain that in a moment, his tweet does sound alarming. But is it right to call the outbreak a thermonuclear pandemic, or describe it, as he did in another tweet, as
the most virulent virus the world has ever seen?
In short, no. First, there's no such thing as a thermonuclear pandemic, thank goodness, so we can ignore that one. Is it even a pandemic? Well, let's just focus on what that word means. The outbreak will only become a pandemic if the virus spreads to other continents and there's onwards transmission to a significant degree. At the moment, the virus has spread outside China, but not to a significant degree. So for now, the coronavirus is not a pandemic. So let's now have a close look at the numbers.
The new coronavirus is a 3.8. How bad is that reproductive R0 value?
When asked online to explain what R0 was, Dr. Ding suggested this explainer from Epidemic Intelligence Service Officer Dr. Erin Mears.
What we need to determine is this. For every person who gets sick, how many other people are they likely to infect? So, for seasonal flu, that's usually about one. Smallpox, on the other hand, it's over three. Now, before we had a vaccine, polio spread at a rate between four and six. Now, we call that number the R0. R stands for the reproductive rate of the virus.
Now, the observant among you will recognise that Dr. Erin Mears is, in fact, only a pretend doctor, played by Kate Winslet in the film Contagion. But we've got to give it to him. Dr. Ding is right, we think. That is a good explanation. However, perhaps it's best to talk to a real doctor. So we contacted Dr. Natalie McDermott, a clinical lecturer at King's College London. So was Dr. Eric Ding right to claim that on average one person might spread the virus to 3.8 people and that this would make it the most virulent virus the world has ever seen?
I think that that's a little bit of an exaggeration and a little bit overexcitable in terms of the phrases he's used. The figure of 3.8 that he selected then was based on a paper that was being published in a journal from some authors in the US. And actually, a short while after he put that Twitter post out, those authors decided that the way they had calculated the R0 and the potential number of cases at that point in time was perhaps inaccurate, and they made some modifications to their figures. So that R0 actually came down. And if we look at the figures that Imperial College London have been putting out, their estimate was that the R0 average was about 2.5. Now, if we bring in measures, that then can reduce the R0. So if you're promptly identifying cases, isolating them, then you essentially interrupt that degree of transmission. And if you can bring the R0 down to below one, you eventually get on top of the epidemic.
And the reproductive number of 2.5, how does that compare to other disease outbreaks?
So 2.5 is actually not that different from what we see in other epidemic diseases at times. Now, obviously, it depends on the disease you're referring to and its mechanism of spread. So, for instance, the R0 for Ebola at the peak of the epidemic in Liberia was around 2. Now, Ebola's not spread through droplet infection, it's spread through direct contact, and it's only infectious when someone is symptomatic. So that makes it a little bit more difficult to contain coronavirus just because people won't necessarily know that they're unwell and infected. But the R0 of 2.5 is not really that different from other respiratory virus infections. It's what we tend to see for epidemic pandemic flu. So it's not the same as what we might see for seasonal flu, but for an epidemic strain of flu, it might be what we see.
That's the reproduction number. Are there any other numbers that are key here that we should have our eye on?
So I guess one of the other ways we judge an epidemic is to some degree on the case fatality rate. So the R0 is helping us to understand transmission. And I guess the case fatality rate, and perhaps you could almost have a severity of disease rate, is helping us understand how severe the virus is. Now, a case fatality rate is always a little bit difficult to calculate, particularly in a virus, a respiratory virus like this, because it is likely that there's quite a large number of people who are infected with the virus but don't have a severe infection. So they might have just a relatively mild cough or cold. Now, those people aren't going to seek treatment, and so they're not then being tested for the virus. So we're calculating the case fatality rate at the moment on those who are actively seeking treatment and being tested for the virus, but that may well be the more severe cases.
So what is the case fatality rate as it stands?
The case fatality rate as it stands seems to be changing by the day, but it's looking to be about 2 to 3% at the moment.
Is that a big number? Is that high?
That's probably about the level we would see with pandemic or epidemic flu. It is high, it's higher than seasonal flu, but it's not high compared to other case fatality rates. For instance, the case fatality rate for Ebola is an average of about 50 to 60%. With SARS, it was, I think on average, they concluded it was about 10%. So it's not as high as SARS.
So we think this Harvard public health scientist has got rather overexcited. Does it matter? Does it matter what he's been saying?
I think it's important that public health researchers and infectious disease researchers are balanced in the opinions they hold based on the data that we have available to us. It's important that the public are informed about the situation, but that they feel safe in reporting any symptoms to health authorities. And it's just really important that nobody panics, because panic just exacerbates situations like this. And I think when people are afraid, they might even run away from the authorities and subsequently spread that infection elsewhere. So I think we just need to be balanced in what we say so that the public are well informed, they know what they need to do if they feel unwell, and they trust us that we're being honest with them, but also we're explaining the situation to them and why it's important that they behave in the way that we're asking.
Dr. Natalie McDermott, a clinical lecturer at King's College London, speaking on Wednesday. Clearly, there is a lot we don't know about this virus, and things could get worse. Dr. Ding, for his part, has now deleted his most alarming tweets and told the American magazine The Atlantic that he wishes he'd worded things a little differently. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks to Dr. Natalie McDermott and Kate Winslet. If you see any spurious statistic or nonsensical numbers, do please email us. We are moreorless@bbc.co.uk. Or you can tweet us. We are @bbcmoreorless. And we'll be back next week.